Yes, we are here to,
I guess, celebrate the birth, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I did this exhort a few weeks ago in Hamilton, so you get second round. It is quite interesting reading that John reading, and I guess this would apply to any exhort we do. I think it was verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the grave will hear the voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So I guess, I mean, that's really why we're here every week, because we want to be on the positive side of that, to get risen to everlasting life. So this morning is a challenge for every one of us, for me, for you, for young, for old. How do we value, I guess, the things that we do in everyday life? How do those values that we have line up with those of our that are written down in the scriptures that we have in front of us every day? Do we really know what God wants from us, or are we following the ways of the world? So we're exhorted in the Romans reading that we just had, in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer you your bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So most of the quotes that I'm taking today are from the New King James Version, so they might be slightly different than the King James a lot of you are reading out of, I can see, I think. So we don't want to be conformed to the things of this world, because, as we know, they lead to death. So the challenge is, are we conforming to those things just by being who we are and just without even realising it? Do our values really line up with the values of God, or do they line up with our own desires and the desires of the world around us? So there's a whole range of scriptures which I guess warn us about who we've got to follow. In Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And in Deuteronomy, Moses says, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Every man is doing what is right in his own eyes. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 to 5, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers and say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth. So, how do we know whether we really have God's values, the values that he wants inside us, or whether we have the values of the world around us ruling our lives? So it's very easy to be deceived by others, and like it's even easier to be deceived by ourselves in many situations. For we know in Jeremiah it talks about the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. So we all struggle with those desires of the flesh and the desires of wanting more and more. So now we're going to have a little look at some history. We've been listening to the book of the Stories of the World, Volume 1, in the car a lot with Aviva, and so it's basically history lessons, and it's about The one that I've taken this from is a story in Greece of the two cities, Athens and Sparta. So this is around 600 BC. Around 600 BC. And how these two cities were very different, and how the values in their everyday life influenced what they did. And which of these two ways was right? Well, were any of them right? Which one was right and wrong? So Athens and Sparta were the two largest cities in Greece, and they lived very, very different lives. And so I'm going to read an extract from the book, so I'll probably end up changing a few words without trying to, unfortunately, but I sometimes paraphrase a bit when I'm reading, so apologies when it half gets mixed up with my own words. Sparta was ruled by a warrior king, and the Spartans' men were required to be soldiers. Boys went to school, but they didn't learn about philosophy, art, and music. Instead, when they were seven, they were sent to a special camp where they learned to be obedient, disciplined fighters. They were taught how to exercise so that their bodies would be strong. They were made to march long distances without socks or shoes so that their feet were tough. They weren't given very much to eat, and they were never allowed to complain. Spartan boys were expected to be tough and silent. When they were 20, the boys had to pass a special test of fitness and bravery. If they passed, they were allowed to join the army. They would stay in the army until they were old men. Even if they got married, they weren't allowed to live with their families. Instead, they lived with other soldiers in barracks. Boys who didn't pass the test weren't allowed to vote, so they could never be full citizens of Sparta. So what about the girls? The girls were taught to exercise and be strong too. So they were like this so that they could be mothers to more and more boys who could fight for Sparta. In the ancient world of the Spartans, only fighters were truly important. And the Spartans saw that women were weaker and more timid than men, so the women of Sparta were less important than men. Spartan mothers were supposed to praise their sons for warlike behaviour and rewarded them for bravery. One Spartan mother would told her son who was leaving for battle, "Come back with your shield or on it." So since the loser of the battle were forced to give up their shields, here's what she really was saying: either win the battle or come back dead. So the Spartans would rather die fighting than lose the fight. Spartans were known for this art. Well, Spartans weren't known for the art of storytelling, but the Spartans' army was known and feared all over the world for its bravery and toughness. So Athens was a little bit different. So we know that the Spartans were expected to be obedient to their king, but the Greeks who lived in Athens had a different way of doing things. Everyone who lived in Athens had a say of how the city was run. Because Athens was a democracy where whenever a new law was written, people of Athens could vote on it whether or not they should actually follow it. Each citizen would have a chance to say yes, this is a good law, or no, it is not a good law. It meant that when they could vote yes or no, and the law would pass or fail on that. As they voted, they also voted in the leaders of Athens on how taxes should be paid, or whether they should go to war. Whenever it was time for the citizens to vote about something, they would gather in the middle of the city in a special meeting place called the Forum. There, they would argue about whether to vote yes or no. After the argument, they would make up their minds and then vote. So the Greeks had to know how to understand, to vote properly. So they needed to be educated They needed to know why taxes were important and whether the leaders were good or bad. They had to understand the laws of the city. If they were ignorant, they wouldn't be able to argue properly about the government or about the city, and they wouldn't be able to make up their minds about how to vote. So education in Athens looked very different from education in Sparta. The Spartans were expected to obey their king and fight for him. So they were taught how to be brave, strong, and obedient. But Athenians had to learn about taxes, laws, and government. Athenian boys went to school just like Spartan boys, but they didn't learn how to fight. Instead, they were taught how to read and how to write on wax tablets. They learned mathematics so that they could count and add and subtract. They memorized the poetry of Homer. They learned how to play the flute and the lyre, ancient Greek instruments that looked a bit like a small harp. Like the Spartans, the Athenians were expected to be strong, but they exercised by wrestling and racing with each other on foot. Athenian girls were also different from Spartan girls. Athenian girls were taught to be housewives. Some girls learned how to read and write, but all girls learned from their mother how to be domestic, how to manage a home, sew, raise a garden, take care of children, and manage slaves. Athenian women weren't allowed to vote, but they were expected to keep their homes running smoothly while their husbands were away arguing in the forum and voting about laws and leaders. The Athenians didn't want tyrants to be in charge of their city, so they were careful to educate themselves and their children. The Spartans wanted to be strong and victorious, but the Athenians wanted to be wise and educated. So these two Greek cities were very, very different. So I'm going to suggest that if you lived in Sparta, you would be finding all the verses in the Bible that talk about being a warrior, that talk about being obedient, that talk about being silent and uncomplaining. And you would say, see, we've got this right, we're following God's ways. And of course, I'm going to suggest that if you lived in Athens, you would be finding verses in the Bible that talk about being educated, knowing why you believe something, and exactly how to find it, knowing what makes a good leader. You'd be looking at what makes a good housewife, and you would say, see, we've got it all right, we're following God's ways. So these two cities were completely different, and yet the people lived in who were living within them had been brought up in that culture. They would have seen them as normal, and therefore they would have seen them as right. And yet, when looking from the outside, we can see that while some things might pass as godly values and actions, really, they were just different versions of everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. So then, how do we in our lives ensure that we believe that what we believe isn't just the better bits of the culture around us? I'm going to give a few examples of some of the ways the world values things, but I'm not saying these things are totally wrong. I just want you to think about it and challenge yourselves. Am I living these out of my life? Are these the ways that God wants me to live? So the world thinks that looks are important regardless of whether or not you spend time exercising, dieting, dyeing your hair, getting rid of wrinkles, putting on makeup, following the latest trends of clothes and that. The world thinks these are important. The world thinks that dishonesty is okay, breaking the law is okay as long as you can get away with it, cheating tax, they're all okay. The world thinks you need more money, so you need to work more to earn more money, to take advantage of anything you want, whether it's the right thing to do or not. It has to be the best thing for you. And of course, it encouraged you to spend more, buy more, and go on holidays and eat out. The world thinks that you should put yourself first, take care of yourself. You must have time for relaxation, must have time for your hobbies. You must stand up for yourself and don't allow yourself to be cheated or harmed. The world thinks that independence is important. It kind of says, well, I'm fine, I don't need help, I can do it all myself. I don't need the shame of having my problems seen by anyone else. Entertainment is good and it's harmless. Doesn't matter what we watch, it doesn't matter what music I listen to, it tells us to love the pleasures of this life. It tells us that jokes and humour and laughing is good, even if it is crude and disrespectful to others. It talks us to be proud of yourself and everything you have done. So, it is sometimes, a lot of these things aren't necessarily wrong just because the world values it. They're not necessarily, but they are often wrong in the application that they use. So, in our lives, we have to be really careful that what we value in our lives line up with God's values, not just the values of the world around us. How can we do that? We can only do this by regularly taking God's values into our minds and into our hearts and thinking about them. Otherwise, we will think that we know what God wants and that we are following what He wants, when really we are only conforming to the culture around us. In Romans 8 verse 7, the mind that is governed by the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. So it's something that has to be cultivated in us. So we're not expected to be conformed to this world, and we find this a challenge at times. Do we do this without even realizing it? So here's a few verses that I want you to think for yourself as I'm reading them. Am I conforming to the ways of the world, or am I being transformed to God's ways and values? In Titus 2 verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. In Titus 3 verses 1 and 2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, to always be gentle towards everyone. And in Titus 1 verse 16, they claim to know God, but their actions deny Him. In Philippians 4 verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. So as we read in the Romans readings this morning, it's full of ways to be transformed into God's image. Perhaps you can read through that again as we partake of the emblems in a couple of minutes. So how do we be transformed into God's ways? I don't need to tell you that. You all already know the answer. Because we know that being conformed to the world around us is we do this by being saturated in the ways of the world. So if we want to be transformed to God's ways, we need to be saturated in the things of God instead of the things of the world. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So in Romans 8, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And 2 Timothy, so we need to read God's Word and meditate on it continually to battle those temptations from the flesh. In Proverbs it tells us that every way of a man is right in his own ways, but the Lord weighs the heart. We need to ask God to weigh our hearts, to show us where in our lives we are doing only what is right in our own lives. And we need to be willing to be taught. And we need to be willing to listen to the ways that he wants us to go instead. In 1 Peter 2 verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." In Philippians 3 verse 17, "Join together in following my example, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do." So I guess we need to associate with those who want to follow God's laws. We need to associate ourselves with God's word so that we can follow that amazing example of our Lord Jesus Christ, that model that is there before us in the scriptures, how to treat others. And in Romans 8:29, "For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." So, as I'm about to finish, we have before us this morning that perfect example of our Lord Jesus Christ and the emblems before us. We read of him in the scriptures. And the more we get to know him, the more we can be conformed, not to this world, but to the image of our Saviour and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to finish with a verse from Romans 12 that we read earlier. "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will."